I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal, ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
Hi there. When I need to quench my desire for the paranormal, only one thing can hit the spot. I tune into Night Watch with Todd Sheets. Accept no substitutes. When you need the real thing, tune in to Night Watch, the only show that shudders and shakes and bumps in the night. And don't forget, Night Watch is also available on iTunes for your portable paranormal pleasure. Night Watch, paranormal radio for everyone. Why settle for less? Demand the best. Night Watch.
Interested in ghosts, UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Do you feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
All right, we're cooking now. It's been a busy show, a fast show.
In channel, so that's good.
What'd you say?
We're even in channel. That's good.
Yeah, that's a definite improvement.
Yes. Well, that's a
little advice for you new broadcasters out there. Make sure you're in channel when you're wanting to talk on your show. That's from an old, experienced guy to you. Because that's what we do here.
But it has been a fast show, and this next hour is going to go by equally as fast, if not faster, because of the topics we'll be talking about.
Yeah, we're going to get into all kinds of stuff. Go ahead, Doug.
I can't wait. L.A. Marzulli is the author of the best-selling Nephilim trilogy. He received an honorary doctorate from the Pacific International University for his work. He possesses an in-depth knowledge of UFOs and other supernatural phenomena. He is also an accomplished musician and is currently a worship pastor at a Southern California church. The website is www.spiraloflife.com. That's www.spiraloflife.com. Spiral of Life is all run together, no spaces or hyphens or anything, just all run together. And Ghost of Talk would like to welcome L.A. Marzulli to the show.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me back on, and really appreciate it. It's great to be here. I'd like to just add one thing.
Yeah.
Two corrections. One, I'm no longer a worship pastor, and part of the reason for that is the book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, was censored from the particular church I was working at.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. And because of that, I left. That was just several reasons, but that was sort of the main reason. One of the main reasons why I left. The book was censored without ever having been read. It was just censored, so I left. The second thing is I blog daily, getting a lot of hits on the blog, lots of traffic there, and you can leave comments and links to all sorts of wonderful things, and that's lamarzulli.wordpress.com. So
okay.
There's my big plug there. But thanks.
Say it again, lamarzulli.
lamarzulli.wordpress.com, all sorts of stuff every day, 5 days a week, and then and if something happens over the weekends, I'll hop back online and do a rant. But this weekend was fairly quiet, with the exception of a little American sortie into Syria with helicopter raid, which hit Drudge Report. But other than that, fairly quiet.
Yeah, I heard about that today. Also, 9 days away from the election. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot. I mean, we were just going to kind of hammer into some stuff here tonight.
Sure.
Now, politics, the new book, you said now this was censored by the church you were. They just totally censored this without reading it?
Yeah. Apparently, when I got there, it was for sale, and I could sell it, and people were reading it, and there were some complaints about, some of the things that I write about in the book. And rather than actually sitting down and reading the book or, looking at what the complaints were, the powers that be there just decided to censor the book because it was controversial. And admittedly, the book is controversial. It's got a lot of information that it connects a ton of dots. It connects a lot of dots that I believe other researchers don't go near, specifically in the realm of of the prophetic and how it may link and tie into the supernatural or paranormal, depending on which word you want to use, manifesting in our space-time continuum, which is happening all the time. I mean, this and let me back that up by saying one thing. On Monday, and this is how the malaise, the spiritual, the supernatural malaise that not only the United States has, most of the planet. On Monday, the UK released so-called classified documents. At the same time, they brought in a retired Air Force pilot, United States Air Force pilot, who was also part of this declassified information. And in that information, he goes on the record and blatantly says, yeah, I saw this UFO. I was about to fire all my weaponry at it. The thing was bigger than an aircraft carrier, and just before I could hit the button, the thing flew away at 10,000 miles an hour. This is major stuff. It was picked up on Drudge Report ran with it, Fox News ran with it, a bunch of different people ran with it. But because we were in a 12-hour news cycle, the next day you couldn't find it. You had to Google it and, you know, find words, and then you could still find it, but it's not there. The point I'm trying to make is, here's the United Kingdom, the government, releasing so-called declassified files, UFO files, just like the Mexican government did, the Belgian government, the French government did. Yeah, the UK now has followed suit. And no one flipping blinks an eye. Instead, we're, you know, hey, Britney's doing really good on the pot chart. Like, what?
Yeah.
What planet am I on?
Exactly.
I mean, it's just insane. The stuff isn't going away. The phenomena is burgeoning. They are headed towards full disclosure. And I realize some of your listeners who may be talking about this going, you know, this guy Marzulli's way out there. The bottom line is in 2008, I believe we've turned a corner with the Stevensville UFO flaps. By the way, 2 weeks ago, a week ago on the weekend, Discovery Channel aired a whole expose on the Stevensville UFO sightings, and they had policemen coming on, showing what they had seen, you know, photographs, videos, the whole deal. Mm-hmm. And the stuff was looked at. Again, the phenomena isn't going away. If it was one or two, you know, and it was some guy out in, you know, the swamps of Florida or something, you kind of go, okay. But, these guys are, and this is what a lot of the skeptics will get on and go, well, he's not a credible witness, blah, blah, blah. Excuse me, these are police officers who are trained witnesses. This is what they're trained in. They're trained to look, and you know, the dramatization of the UFO over the courthouse or whatever it was. I mean, it was granted it was a reenactment, but the thing was huge, dwarfed the building, and the cops saw this and went on the record talking about it. So the phenomenon is not going away, and I truly believe that we are headed towards full disclosure, which of course sinks in to what I, with the subtitle of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, which is the coming great deception of a Luciferian endgame. And I think when this thing hits, it's going to be unlike anything the planet's ever gone through, in my humble opinion.
First off, I want to state that, L.A., none of our listeners will think you're crazy.
That's true.
We're all in bed together. Hi, yeah, guys. Thanks for listening.
No, none of them will think you're crazy. And we've discussed, I think we discussed this a bit last week when we were talking to Bill Konkoleski from MUFON.
Yeah.
Michigan,
okay.
MUFON's president. We were talking about, you know, we have to see this gentleman, Bill Konkoleski, do a wonderful presentation, you know, as the president of Michigan MUFON. And we talked about disclosure and things like that a little bit. And I think that we've been seeing more and more of this too. I've been watching, and you know, maybe it's because I've really been kind of looking into the UFO stuff a lot more. But there are a lot of things going on there. I mean, a lot of stuff with the supernatural, the term supernatural or paranormal is getting a lot of press nowadays. We know that. But the way I've always been saying it is they kind of leak a little bit out, a little bit out, a little bit out, a little bit more out, a little bit more out, a little bit more out. Next thing you know, you have a whole picture there in front of you.
Well, what happens is, though, if they do it that way, they do it over time like that.
It's easier to swallow.
Well, not so much that, but also it dilutes each individual piece.
No, yeah.
Because if I were to tell you, like, one letter of my middle name, and then 3 months later tell you another letter of my middle name, and then 6 months later tell you another letter of my middle name, eventually you'll be like, oh, I don't even care anymore.
Yeah, it's a really good point.
It dilutes.
What's that, L.A.?
This is exactly what we're seeing. For instance, Edgar Mitchell came out several months ago in the summer, and, you know, basically blatantly said on Kerrang Radio, which made international news. Fox News actually did an interview with him, I think, on Hannity's America. Hannity sits down with him and straight face-to-face go, you know, you came on Kerrang Radio and you stated that the extraterrestrial presence is real and the government's been covering this thing up for, you know, since Roswell and all of this. And Mitchell is just very nonchalant. stares right at the camera and says, oh, yes, absolutely, the Roswell event was real, and the government's been knowing about extraterrestrials for, you know, decades now, and they've been covering it up and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I mean, here's Edgar Mitchell, and yet I've been on shows where the host refused. Somehow they discredit Edgar Mitchell because he's got a book on his website for $65. Somehow that discredits the man. Look, if Mitchell was the – oh, this is my point. If Mitchell was the only guy that was saying this, he'd be suspect. But the problem is, and this goes back to Occam's razor, which basically says that the simplest answer is usually the correct one. Mm-hmm. And when you've got myriad of people all over the globe pointing to some sort of a phenomena in the sky, call it UFO or whatever, mm-hmm. eventually the simplest answer is, guess what, folks? They're flying discs. That's what we're looking at. You know, it's not swamp gas. It's not a flock of birds. It's not Venus in broad daylight. No, it's a disc, and people are seeing it over and over and over again. And eventually this is going to be, look, when this thing happens, when this thing really hits, there was an interesting blog or article. It's called UFOs in the Post-Disclosure Worldview. Very fascinating. I got it off a blog, and I'm actually going to blog on this thing. Uh-huh. The author, you know, talks about that there's four worldviews or four views in which to let me just write this. We greet the visitors today. This is right from the article. With at least four general paradigms that they are, one, that they are the enemy, two, that they are benefactors, three, that they are gods, or they are not there at all. So, I mean, there's four possible points of view. Well, uh-huh. I'm going to blog tomorrow that there's actually a fifth one. And that fifth one would be that they are literally malevolent forces, specifically called fallen angels, which are following prophetic threads written thousands of years ago and are now manifesting just like they were told or foretold that they would in the last days, in the end of days. And I realize that's a bizarre statement to make.
Oh, yeah.
But after traveling in it for 20 years or more, that's what I believe, and that's what the book really backs up, and that's what the book links together.
Well, there's always been this underlying thing, and I've done my share. I know you have too, Doug, of studying things about the Luciferian Order and things like that. We've had several people on the show. I've done my own private studies of this thing, and you know, the present state of the world right now, it goes without saying, you know, that, yeah, it's a dark time right now, I think, in this country. The auto industry's going to hell, I mean, which is pretty much our bread and butter here.
Well, the dollar's rising, though. So
the dollar's coming back. Okay. Well, yeah, I hope we'll be okay. But still, we're in a dark time.
We're still polluting the planet. We are, the polar bears are not able to survive with the, you know, the melting icebergs, you know, so we're losing whole species, you know, majestic species and some lesser known species, but polar bears are like so cute, so how could I not mention them? We're polluting, I don't think they're moving fast enough on the energy thing. I mean, you burn coal, you get coal soot in the atmosphere, you can't do anything about it. You need to go with more cleaner energy. We are not taking care of our very own planet, and it's doomed at some point.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm done. I was, so that's why, yeah, the end times. I mean, what else is the definition of end times?
Well, to me, I mean, certainly and we could argue the fact of, you know, greenhouse gases, and there are, as usual, on all these things, there are two sides of the coin to it. There are those scientists that profess that greenhouse gases are causing global warming. There's other climatologists who say, no, you guys are, it's a knee-jerk reaction. Al Gore's all wet in the head. Remember, Al Gore's the same guy who invented the Internet.
Right,
the
yeah, right.
So, you know, thanks, Al, and we really appreciate that. But it's inconclusive. And what we may be looking at, actually, is some sort of a 1,000-year or 2,000 or 10,000-year-old cyclical progression, climatic progression that Earth just does naturally. See, we don't know. We've only been tracking weather really for a couple hundred years. We can go back and, let's say, look at the tree rings and redwoods that are about 1,000 years old or whatever. And from that, you know, we can ascertain, let's say, rainfall. You know, what was it like in the rainfall? You know, was it dry years, wet years? And you can start to build over that 1,000 years just by looking at the tree rings. You get sort of a history, sort of an overview of rainfall, at least in the California area.
Yeah, and they do the same thing with ice cores. You know,
yeah,
they take the same deal with ice cores. And
right.
I'm not a tree hugger by any means. I don't.
No, nor am
know,
I.
I don't know if the greenhouse gases are causing the, you know, the holes and et cetera, or global warming. But I do believe that polar bears are disappearing because they've got got less and less spot to live. Now, is it because a whole group of people set up a Walmart on some iceberg? I don't know. But I do know that they're finding less and less place to live. There's whole species here from Michigan that are gone.
Wiped out.
Because you bulldoze a forest and put up a strip mall, and there you go.
And you could make a case, certainly, for the passenger pigeon that one time blackened the skies literally for days over the United States. Now there's not a single one left. So look, man is, we've definitely screwed things up and continue to screw things up on one hand. And on the other hand, we're the same species that invents incredible things like the artificial heart.
True.
Rockets to Mars and, the medicine, the level of medical care in the United States, even though they botch it up, I mean, if people fly in from all over the world to get stuff done here, and not in Afghanistan. And there's a reason for that.
Well, you'll never be found again if you go there, right?
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
I think it has to be soap and water. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
They use it here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But look, to me, all that is well and good. But to me, the end times really has to do. Let me just give you a little kind of a cautionary word before I launch into this thing. I'm going to talk about the nation of Israel, and sometimes people go, I'm just honking my horn here for the nation of Israel. And I'll say this, the Israelis have done wonderful things, but they've also really screwed up, just like everybody else on the planet. I mean, what the United States government did to the American Indian is an absolute atrocity, and that's been documented and written down, and I don't need to, talk about that. Certainly the ills of slavery that ravaged this nation and created the most horrific war we've ever seen in this country, the Civil War. So, I mean, we can all point fingers and say that this was wrong or everybody screwed up. So before I launch into my Israeli prophetic diatribe here, that's the deal. I'm not championing Israel. I'm only saying that like all countries, including us, they've got black marks also. But they've also got a lot of good marks. That being said, what starts the prophetic clock ticking for us to look at is actually Ezekiel 37. This is a document that's about 2,500 years old. Some of it was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. So, there are people who go, oh, you can't trust the stuff, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. What do you do with a Dead Sea Scroll that's about 2,000 years old? How do you wash that? It hasn't been touched. Nobody's changed this thing in the year 300 under Constantine, which I hear all the time ad nauseum. It's just an absurd argument. Mm-hmm. It's like, here are the Dead Sea Scrolls. No one's screwing with this stuff, okay? This is what it says, all right? And the bottom line is that these prophecies are 2,500 years old, and Ezekiel 37 states very specifically that in the latter days, in the end times, Israel would be regathered. The nation of Israel would be regathered from the four corners of the earth and reestablished, set in its ancient homeland. Okay, what happened in 1948? Israel was literally regathered from the ashes of the Holocaust, from all of Germany, all over the world, and reformed on its ancient borders, in its ancient land, which is insane. It'd be like the Manhattan Indians going to the Manhattan, hundreds of years after the fact, and going, hi, guys, we're back. We really want the island back now. We know we got hosed. Here's the wampum with interest. We want the island back, right?
Yeah.
And it's just not going to happen. Well, that, to me, starts the prophetic clock ticking. But see, here's the deal. Unless you know what the prophecy says, you don't even know what to look for. And that's, unfortunately, where most people are at. Most people have no idea what the Ezekiel 37 prophecy is. So to them, Israel becoming a nation, it's like, oh, what is Britney doing on the pop charts this week?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And what's more horrific about that, after 37, and remember, we're the guys who created these chapters. There are no chapters when you look at the Dead Sea Scrolls, they run right into each other. So after, let's say, for the benefit of the conversation, for the benefit of Ezekiel 37 actually happening, right after that is chapter 38, which, again, there's no chapter breaks in the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's not like they have chapter 38. That's something that we created. So it goes, and it reads, and it talks about this confederacy of nations which come up against the land of unwalled villages in the latter days, in the end times. And guess what? The two nations that are top dog in that list are Russia and Iran. Russia is called Magog. Iran is called by its ancient name, which, by the way, was only changed about 50, 60 years ago, Persia. If you talk to an ex-Iranian, I know you guys got a bunch of them up there.
Uh-huh.
In Dearborn especially, right?
Oh, yes.
So, they will say, I'm from Persia. Most of the time they don't say Iran. They say, I'm from Persia, expatriated Iranians. And that's all well and good. The bottom line is that what we're seeing Now, the Russian bear has awakened with its recent military engagements in Ossetia and Georgia, and now we also see that they've docked ships at the Syrian ports and the Libyan ports. So the Russian bear is very much alive and awake and aware. They've also selling military weapons to both Iran and Syria. So the second nation, Iran, Persia, is, you know, 50, 60 years ago, was, militaristically, it was pretty much of a joke. I mean, if you had said that Iran was going to be a threat, we all would have laughed. But with the Islamic, the foundation of the Islamic Republic of Iran, things have changed. Of course, we had Saddam and, you know, Iraq and Iran with their eight-year war, which, you know, I think 1 million people were slaughtered in that ridiculous, conflict. But what we see now is the diatribe and the rantings of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, and people have criticized me and said that, you know, he's talking about Zionism. No, he's not. He's talking about every man, woman, and children in Israel. He wants to annihilate everything and everybody in the nation of Israel. There's no doubt about that. And he's gone on the record at the UN as recently as about a month ago, saying, that Israel is soon to be wiped off the map. So we see the vitriol. What's interesting here is that this vitriol links to, and in my opinion, dovetails very succinctly to the Ezekiel 38 and 39 prophecy. And if you want to get an eye-opener, read Ezekiel 38 and 39, because it's bizarre, especially 39, because it talks about that something happens, there's an exchange, and the forces, this nation, this confederacy of nations which come up Israel, against Israel, are wiped out. They're literally decimated. The armies are wiped out. Uh-huh. And no one touches the bodies. Listen to this. No one, and I'm not making this up, this is what the text says. Uh-huh. No one touches the bodies for 7 months. They just sit there. They rot. They just sit there on the mountains, right? Don't do anything with it. They just sit there on the hills. Thousands and thousands and thousands of just, you know, weaponry, tanks, who knows what. They all just sit there. At the end of 7 months, when the radiation levels are down, now that's my conjecture, when the radiation level down, they send out people to mark where the bones are. Again, nobody touches anything. They just put a marker where the bones are. Then special people, and this is what the prophecy says, special buriers, special people go out, locate the bones, gather them, collect them, and bury them in a mass grave downwind by the Dead Sea. I mean, that's flipping ridiculous. That's 2,600 years ago when that prophecy was written. And unfortunately, that's what I believe we're looking at. You know, and I monitor this literally daily. I read Iranian papers, Israeli papers. I mean, I get everything I can get my hands on in the Middle East. And in my opinion, this thing's going to happen sooner than later, unfortunately.
Well, because this is modern times, and I was talking last hour about how fast things move, because we do have the Drudge Report, and we've got the satellite TV.
News is coming to us at lightning speed.
Yeah, it comes in constantly.
Much like ghostly talk.
With many, many different ways to access it, and you can access just tons of information at any given moment. And so things travel quickly nowadays. Why wouldn't it be possible to stop such a terrible, you know, tragedy, you know, either just before or as it's happening? I mean, somebody with some common sense might see that something's going on, and pop up and say, you know what, that's not in the best interest of the world. It could be Japan or Germany or the UK, or even, I doubt it would be, you know, our regime. But it would, you know.
Well, if there was money to make from it, definitely.
Well, that's true, if there was oil involved. But somebody would notice this happening. I mean, because, LA, I know you're monitoring it, so you'll look for a tremor, and then you'll be like, oh my gosh, something is afoot. Isn't there somebody else, you know, with maybe missiles or something, who could say, you know, don't do that now?
Well, and isn't that what we all want to see? The problem is, in 2006, the Lebanese, or the Hezbollah, came across the northern border of Israel. And Hezbollah, remember, is embedded now, we're embedded in 2006 along the northern border. And they came across, which started the summer war of 2006 between Hezbollah and Israel. And Israel basically routed them and then pretty much retreated. Although they inflicted heavy casualties on Hezbollah, Hezbollah now has regrouped, and apparently, according to certain military statistics, if you want to believe this, they've got between 50 and 110,000. It's almost double.
Wow.
So it's, you know, let's just say 75,000 for the point of this conversation. 75,000 rockets, and some of these rockets have been reworked, so they're much more accurate, and they've got a heavier payload of explosives on them, and they can go further. They can actually reach Tel Aviv and wherever. Mm-hmm. So they've got 75,000 rockets pointed at Israel. Israel has, and I talk about this in Politics, Prophecy, and Supernatural, Israel already has what they call the Samson option. And the reason for that is they will not go down peacefully. In other words, if they feel like they're about to be overrun, for instance, in the 67 war, which, by the way, you can make a real strong case, fulfilled the 83rd Psalm, which talks about, again, very specific nations coming up against Israel, and they're defeated, and which is exactly what happened in the 67 war. So a strong case can be made that that prophecy has already been fulfilled, and I believe that. The bottom line is the Samson option is if the Israelis feel that they're about to be overwhelmed, at that point they will resort to their nuclear weaponry, which then would fulfill the prophecies of 38 and 39. Here's what's bizarre. About 6 months ago, and I realize this isn't, you know, it's a paranormal, the supernatural stuff.
No, it's fine. No, no.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of is and it sort of isn't, and we'll take this and we'll launch what I think is really going to happen at the end of this woe which we're seeing, which links back to our first discussion when we talked about UFOs and disclosure.
Yeah.
Because I feel, I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but I feel that this war, yeah, hello, that this war is going to trigger supernatural events, and that will be, of course, a disclosure. But getting back on point here, the Israelis said something that I found just chilling to Damascus about 6 months ago, there and about this year. They basically talked to Syria, and they said, listen, Syria, Damascus is the capital of Syria. If you use chemical weapons against us, we will annihilate you. The strongest words that the Israelis have ever used. And, of course, this, again, would dovetail into the Isaiah 17 prophecy, which talks about Damascus, you know, lying in a ruinous heap, you know, never again to be inhabited, which is flipping bizarre. That's never happened. That prophecy's never been fulfilled. And so we see, in my opinion, if it was 100 years ago, I wouldn't be talking about this stuff. I wouldn't. First of all, Israel wasn't a nation. None of the nations are lining up. It's not time yet. But because the clock is ticking and Israel is there and the nations that are talked about with great specificity in Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39 are lining up, the stage is set, I believe, we're looking at this horrific war. And remember, this, whoever's seeing this thing is somehow outside our space-time continuum. He's there, he's way in the future, 2,600 years ago or whatever. He's in the future and watching this. How does he see it? Is it a vision? Is it like a screen in front of him? Is he actually transported in time? I don't know. But he sees it and he's reporting these things as best as he possibly can. So all that to say, when this happens, and unfortunately I believe we're in the window of time when this will happen, this will trigger supernatural events unlike anything we've ever seen. And this, in my opinion, is the coming great deception. And that will be, we will see hundreds of UFOs manifest over the capitals. Because we have just witnessed, let's say, a nuclear exchange in the Middle East. It'll create, and hear me out, it'll create the greatest level of fear mankind has ever known. More than Hiroshima, more than Nagasaki. When it was Hiroshima and Nagasaki, there were only two weapons that existed. Now there are thousands of nuclear warheads and chemical warheads all over the planet. When this war happens in the Middle East, it'll create such a climate of fear that people will just be so uncertain. And this is when the Luciferians thrive on this. The currency of the Luciferians is fear. That's what they thrive on. When you look at the abduction phenomena, people are literally terrorized. This isn't friendly aliens trying to conduct some, you know, genetic experiments. No, they do it very deliberately. The people who are abducted are awake, they are aware, and they are terrorized during their whole abduction session, let's say. And so fear is always the currency of these entities, which I believe, of course, are very malevolent, very evil, and they will materialize over the skies of the planet. And this is, in my opinion, the coming great deception. And it's nasty. It's not, you know, it's not Winnie the Pooh.
No, I don't think it will be. Go ahead, Doug.
Are there other prophecies, prophets, and prophecies that sort of that come into line with all of this from Ezekiel and the Dead Sea Scrolls, or is this like, you know, one, you know, or two? That would be what, one or two sources.
Mm-hmm.
Is there more sources for that kind of prophecy?
Well, I mean, and here we go again. I mean, it's like, okay, we've got the Ezekiel 37 to 39, you know, prophetic utterance 2,600 years ago. I quoted again Isaiah 17, which talks about Damascus, and there are other prophecies that sort of dovetail into it. But there's not other seers. In other words, you can't look, let's say, at Nostradamus and try to pin that label on Nostradamus, or have Nostradamus somehow dovetails into this particular prophecy, or let's say the Hopi Indian prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. That's not going to happen. What you do have, and the reason why I believe in, let's say, biblical prophecy over any other, and people have asked me this, well, what about Nostradamus? Well, Nostradamus has a very poor track record, very mm-hmm. poor track record. And the quatrains are at best fuzzy to understand, and they're kind of obfuscated. I mean, they can be interpreted to mean just about anything with anybody. On the other hand, when you look at the prophecy of Ezekiel 38, and it talks about the nations that I listed, it will happen. First of all, it gives us a time, a window of time, the latter days, the end times. Mm-hmm. It will say Israel is regathered from the four corners of the earth. We've seen that. Mm-hmm. You see, until 1948, you couldn't read that prophecy and say it's going to happen, because it didn't happen. 1948, Israel was regathered from the four corners of the earth, reestablishing its homeland. And the 67 war, which fulfilled yet another prophecy, which talks about the Jerusalem. Listen to this one. Mm-hmm. This is a 2,000-year-old prophecy, very specific. It says Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, will be trodden over, in other words, trampled, ruled by non-Jewish people, okay, which is exactly what's happened, until mm-hmm. the time of the Gentiles are over. Guess what? 67 war, finally, the Israelis recaptured the old city of Jerusalem. Guess what? That prophecy was fulfilled in 1967 with great specificity. It's not some, fuzzy quatrain with, the names are misspelled. It's like very, very specific. Mm-hmm. The times of the Gentiles are over. So, from as a student of all this stuff and looking at it, I can only say that I believe that we're in that window of time, we're in that space, and, people ask, when's it going to happen? I'm not a date setter, and the prophecy doesn't set dates, but I watch, and I look, and I feel that, we're in this time where it could happen soon. I mean, it's not getting better over there. Now the United States is flying, over the weekend, this little sortie into Syria. I mean, that's not a good thing. I mean, I realize we're over in Iraq and all this other stuff, and that's a hot-button political issue anyway. And, I could make a case that the ancient city of Babylon lies there. It's actually the basis of another book, the Luciferian Dialectic, which I'm kind of working on. But the book is so dark that I put it on the back shelf for a while. But, yeah, I mean, it's just bizarre. But what people need to understand is, and all the conspiratologists who come up and go, 9/11 was an inside job and all this other stuff. And, we look at these things, and then, Duke comes out, and they go, line by line, tenant by tenant, of why the buildings crashed and what they did. And, so it begs the question, how many people are really in on this conspiracy? Thousands of people are in on conspiracy. Everybody from Purdue and Duke and all these other people who looked at it are in on the conspiracy. Or, I have trouble with the Pentagon crash, and I have trouble with Building 7. Okay, I do. But the bottom line is, let's say that there's a hierarchy, a Luciferian hierarchy. Some people would call it the Illuminati, others would say the Masons or the Rosicrucians. I mean, take your poison. But we know from ancient prophecy that this mystery, it's called the mystery of lawlessness, the mystery of iniquity.
Yeah.
2,000 years ago, we're told that this thing is at work. It's already working. 2,000 years ago, we're told it's working. What is it working? It's working to bring about the advent of the Antichrist. So I find it very interesting that we're back in the land of Shinar, where all this stuff hits the fan anyway, thousands and thousands of years ago. The ancient city of Babylon is located in Iraq. You never hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been run up the flagpole several times that the Maliki government, he's the president of Iraq,
mm-hmm.
is a very enervated government. And what they're looking for is a strong man. And you hear that every now and then. You got nowhere to look. But if you Google, if you go in and you Google King Jordan, Iraq, just King Jordan, Iraq, and watch, some things will come up. Look for the story that basically talks about the King of Jordan, Abdullah II, saying that he would be willing to establish a constitutional monarchy in Iraq. In other words, ride in and be their king, which is just amazing to me, absolutely amazing. And, of course, if he does that, then and several other things he could do. The second leg of this thing would be in Jordan, which he's the king of. It's populated by 75% of Palestinians. Of the population are Palestinians.
Yeah.
So he could take the northern part of Jordan and give that to the Palestinians, thus solving the 60-year-old conundrum in the Middle East of a Palestinian homeland by giving them the northern part of Jordan. The third thing he would do, and this, again, was fulfilled prophecy, If he does this, he would be the Antichrist. Or if he's involved in it, let me back up. The Hashemite king, Hashem is the uncle of Muhammad, all right? So he's a direct descendant of the prophet Muhammad in the Muslim religion. Therefore, he holds great sway and great respect in the Muslim world to both Sunni and Shia. All these guys, like, really respect King Abdullah. He holds great sway. At one time, and most people don't know this, right after World War I, there was a Hashemite kingdom, guess where? In Iraq. They were actually the king of Iraq and the king of Syria, but they were overthrown by the people, specifically the Ba'ath Party in one, and the rest is history. So they fled to the country of Jordan and reestablished the Hashemite kingdom there. What's interesting is, because he's a direct descendant of Muhammad, King Abdullah is the only guy in the Muslim world who holds the keys to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Okay. He's the guy that holds the keys, the figurative keys. He controls the Temple Mount, the WAQF, W-A-Q-F, does nothing without his okay where the Dome of the Rock is in Jerusalem. He's the only guy on the planet that I'm aware of who could say, okay, here's what we're going to do to make everybody happy. We're going to construct a wall. The Temple Mount's 40 acres. It's just not this little site. It's huge, 40 acres. Mm-hmm. We're going to construct this wall and allow the Jews, allow the Israelis to rebuild their temple. As a shrine of peace, as a token of goodwill, because we just had this huge devastating war in the region, and now we have to fight for peace type of thing. So it's a scenario. If all that happens, and it's a lot of ifs, it's just, you know, it's like an 8-cushion shot on a pool table with 4 balls or something. You know, it's just ridiculous. Uh-huh. If it happens, and in my opinion, what we've looked at is the mystery iniquity fulfilled right in our lifetime, and it's a Luciferian dialectic, a dialectic being conflict, counter-conflict, and then solution or a synthesis between the two. And we have been literally manipulated in a very bizarre, supernatural way. So that's a theory. It's a workable one.
Yeah.
And it's kind of chilling.
Well, in the great words of Butters from a recent episode of South Park that I've seen.
Jesus, are you kidding?
Oh, yeah,
these
like
are
it.
Always my, good. Yeah.
My brain hurts right now.
My brain hurts.
No, because seriously, that was a lot of information.
But,
and it's
but
a lot
you're
of
right.
process, but my God, I mean, the lines are there, though.
Well, when I saw the beginning of all that, well, whatever that Kirk Cameron series was on the movies, and Kirk Cameron went and did all these, you know, end times kind of
thing. Yeah, I remember that.
But not.
I know what you're talking about.
Well, anyway, it was Left Behind or something. Mm. Or something. I don't remember exactly, but he did all these things, and of course they touched on a lot of these points. You know, on the they did. You know, obviously it was a Hollywood treatment of exactly what you just explained. But I remember sitting in the theater and thinking, There can't be anybody on the planet who could put into motion all of this stuff. It would have to be, and I was actually thinking conspiratorial, which I normally am not a conspiracy theorist, but I actually thought it would have to be like, you know, several powerful people be this Antichrist. You know, it would be, you know, one, even though you talk about the Antichrist as one person, I would think that it would have to be several people who put this
into motion,
who can actually get these things
who
done.
Work, and they work as separate entities, you know, like spokes in a wheel. Obviously.
Yeah, now with, you know, King Jordan, I'm like, wow, I did not consider that at all. I just did not consider that would be even possible until now.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole King of Jordan scenario is kind of my own little pet theory. It's really, I mean, I tipped off pretty much the whole book, but I mean, the book would obviously give more of an in-depth, a deal with the whole thing. But I mean, that's, if it happens, then we've witnessed something that's just beyond anything we could possibly imagine. I mean, there are such, look, we're told that when this thing hits, when this end time thing hits, that, and here are the words of the rabbi Yeshua, first century rabbi, who tells us that, which is really interesting, he says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive, which is the most, in my opinion, that's incredibly sobering. No flesh would survive unless those days were shortened. And he's talking about, you know, the Battle of Armageddon, all this stuff. I mean, it's all hell, literally. All hell is going to break loose. Mm-hmm. It's not a pretty picture. It really isn't. But then, of course, the hope that we have, that I have, specifically with my particular worldview, and, you know, this gets into, I mean, we could talk about, you want to talk supernatural stuff, we get into the Shroud of Turin and why I believe it really is real, it's not a fake, and it's the burial cloth, and it speaks of a whole different physics which we know nothing about. The image on the shroud is absolutely just bizarro. It speaks, and it's actually a recorded, like a testimony or something that you could, evidence of the actual resurrection, which goes back to, you know, 2,000 years ago. And unfortunately, you know, the church, the very thing, the very establishment, which is supposed to promulgate the good news, has done pretty much exactly the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And most people, you know, don't want anything to do with it. The bottom line is this, that this rabbi, Yeshua, apparently, you know, and I believe this, you know, died, and by his blood, you know, and belief in him, we're saved. That's it. Done. Finished. I don't have to, you know, jump through hoops. There are no rules. Thank you very much. The rule is love your neighbor as yourself. That's basically the big rule. That's it. Thank you. No stained glass windows, no priest with incense stuff and confessionals. All this stuff is added by people, by men. It's all added by men. If you go back and you read first century stuff, it's not the way that the church was supposed to be. They met in small little groups, and cool stuff happened, miracles, people got healed, you know, good stuff happened. Who can argue with that? But the thing has been so twisted and wacko. But all that to say, and this is what I believe, I do believe in the second coming. I believe that. And I believe when he comes back this time, the scriptures, the prophecy tells us, one, that upon the return, all disease is wiped out, death is wiped out, and all the crazy stuff, war, all this stuff is just gone, because now he's ruling, and he puts an end to the Battle of Armageddon. Now that's the Christian mythos. I mean, that's supposedly, you know, the Christian good news. A lot of people look at that, don't even know what it is, let's say, or maybe have heard glimpses of it. That's a quick thumbnail sketch of it. Mm-hmm. So that's my hope. I mean, when this, look, and the reason for the hope is, if you believe the stories when, and the first time he came, and here's a guy that ran around, here's the God man that ran around. And I don't, when I say, you know, guy, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Some people go, you call Jesus guy? How could you do that? You know, lighten up. I mean, you know, it's like he's just a man at this point, and people don't know who he is. He's running around, but everybody gets healed of everything. I mean, everybody gets healed of flipping everything, and that's fantastic. How can you argue with that? You can't argue with it. I mean, it's wonderful. You know, you got somebody that's dying of cancer, and you know, Yeshua walks into the room, lays his hands on the person, and boom, they're healed. I mean, that's really good stuff. Someone born without eyes, you know, Yeshua runs over, you know, spits on his fingers, makes a little dirt with some clay or something, and rubs it on the man, and man grows eyeballs. I mean, that's just unflipping believable.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I believe is the good news, and I believe the second coming is going to manifest on this planet. That's all part of the prophecy, and that's my worldview. That's what I basically believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a happy ending to it, but unfortunately, you know, we're going to deal with some supernatural stuff, getting back to that, which is just bizarre. I mean, you know, when you look at the cattle mutilations, the crop circles, the abductions and all that stuff that's going on, it's just, I mean, it's going to be nasty.
It's going on right now. One thing I wanted to ask you about, because I saw this on our list of things that
we're running up towards the end of the hour.
I want to know. I'm sitting here captivated,
that.
But I think
you'll have to have me back.
Yes, we will. Definitely. Are we on the same page here, though, Doug?
Halloween. October 31st is indeed Halloween.
Yeah.
It's also, this is the beginning of Halloween week.
And, yeah, which is
and
just fun for us
and probably all of our listeners. It's probably a really, really nice week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun time.
So the end of the week, right, October 31st, there's something supposed to happen.
Yeah, which I've had experience with this gentleman before, not personally, L.A., but when I saw his name pop up here on our list of stuff to talk about, I had to ask you about this. Prophet Yahweh's new claim about summoning a UFO on October 31st. What are your thoughts on this? I guess I don't even know how to ask you this, but, I mean, I'll give you my thoughts after I hear yours, though.
Sure. Look, I've never met the guy.
Yeah.
I emailed him, and I do a show called The Q Files on Wednesday.
Yeah.
An hour long, and I'm on that shortwave, and I'm the host of the thing. So
Prophet
Yahweh's supposed to come on my show on Wednesday, and I've got a ton of questions for him, just like you guys do.
Right.
If you want to email me some of your questions,
yeah.
I'll definitely ask him. But I believe, a quick backstory, quick thumbnail, Scott, so your listeners know who the guy is. In 2005, a news crew from Las Vegas went out to film this guy, and it was going to be a puff piece. They were going to go out and, you know, kind of make fun of this guy, and it was just going to be a joke, you know.
Well,
and
if I may interject, LA, yeah, you can find this video on YouTube also.
Yeah,
it's all
over
YouTube.
It's all over YouTube.
Yeah, just type in, like, Prophet Yahweh UFO, it'll come right up, guaranteed.
Yeah, Vegas News.
Yeah, there you
right
go.
Up.
Cool.
Right.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. You can also go to my blog, because I blog about it with the links, too. And
okay,
the
cool.
Links are there.
All right, excellent.
You know, LAMarzulli.wordpress.com. But, but so Prophet Yahweh's out there, and the news crew's there, and you can see these guys are just cracking up. You know, they're trying not to just lose it. So, you know, this guy sounds like a real nutcase, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he goes out in the field, raises his hands, and, oh, Yahweh, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the guy holding the camera starts freaking out because there, right above, is a silver disc, way up in the sky, a metallic disc, just sitting there, hovering. No running lights like an airplane. And some people go, well, he uses weather balloons and all this stuff. It's like, eh. Look, I'm not there. I don't know. I don't know what I'm looking at. Apparently, on October 31st, the amazing Randy, who's at the bunker, is also going to show up and see what's going on and see if there is some sort of a, you know, like a magic deal happening. The bottom line is this: the news crew, the Vegas news crew, were freaked. And this thing, when it disappeared, it shot straight up in the air. It didn't float away like a weather balloon. It shot straight up. So let's say for the benefit of our conversation, this guy was able to do that. Which begs the question: What is he working under? How is he manifesting it?
Exactly.
Now, someone like the amazing Randy doesn't believe in anything paranormal or supernatural, and someone like, let's say, Rob McConnell of the X Zone has trouble with all that too. They're both big skeptics.
Right. Uh-huh.
The bottom line is, my worldview: I believe in a firm believer in things supernatural and paranormal, having been involved in them and seen all sorts of stuff manifest, specifically in the realm of exorcisms, which are not really pretty. And, you know, been involved in stuff and seen stuff and witnessed stuff, plus seen my own UFO when I was about 12 years old with three other boys, and I'll never forget that. Mm. The bottom line is, if he's operating like, let's say, Blossom Goodchild, who was supposed to manifest something on October 14th, when she said this great ship is supposed to manifest over the skies of Alabama. October 14th came and went, nothing happened. And then the 15th, Goodchild gets on YouTube and posts this thing, you know, I don't understand, and I asked the Federation of Light, those were her channelers, the beings that allegedly she was channeling, they promised me it was happening. Well, before that, I said that one of the hallmarks of the Luciferians, or of demonic entities, is that they lie, and they lie all the time.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and their leader, Lucifer, is literally called the father of lies. So you can't believe a stinking thing that they say.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, many abductees that I've talked to, so-called abductees who were abducted by Gray, said the same thing, that they no longer trust anything that the graves tell them, because that they lie all the time. Well, Prophet Yahweh is a little different. And unlike Blossom Goodchild, he's actually been able to manifest something on film.
Uh-huh.
And that's why it'll be interesting to see. I'm going to try to get there also. I need funds to do it, but I'm going to try to get there on October 31st for myself. I live in Southern California. It's about a six-hour drive to Vegas, and check it out.
Yeah.
I believe he's operating under what I would call a familiar spirit. I'm sure you guys know the story when Moses is in front of Pharaoh and he has a staff and he throws his staff down, the staff becomes a serpent. Well, the Egyptian magicians do exactly the same thing. They throw their staffs down, and their staffs become snakes also.
Uh-huh.
The only difference is that Moses' staff eats the other snakes up, which mm-hmm. is kind of bizarre. And the Egyptian magicians are able to duplicate the same so-called miracles that Moses does, until I think he turns the Nile into blood, and at that point the magicians throw up their hands and go, this is really the finger of God, don't screw around here, Pharaoh. And they're freaked out. So at some point in time, they can no longer duplicate what Moses is doing, and they say, this is, you know, he's serving the real guy here, we can't touch this. So Prophet Yahweh, all that being said, Prophet Yahweh, in my opinion, is under what I would call a familiar spirit. In other words, he talks about voices in his head. This would be, in my opinion, classic demon possession. Psychiatrists would differ with me. They would say he would be like a paranoid schizophrenic or whatever. And I, having never met the man and spoken to him, I don't know. And I'm certainly not an expert in the field. But my first guess is he's operating with a familiar spirit. And he's in cahoots with that familiar spirit. And so when he comes up with this prophetic date of October 31st,
It'll
be interesting to see if he actually manifests something. And if he doesn't, and if it's another Blossom Goodchild thing, you know, the out for me simply is this: if they lie, they lie all the time, so why should I believe it?
Mm-hmm.
The only reason why I'm interested in this is because he did it in front of a news crew. and they film the thing.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm asking too. Like, okay, I understand what you're saying, LA, but you know, they apparently on film we saw. I saw the video, and I saw the camera guy freak out when he saw this thing.
Yeah, it's real. The camera guy and the whole news crew. You know, they cut back to the news crew, you know, who's showing the piece now, and they're all kind of yucking up, wow, you know, UFOs, are they real? Oh, gee, you know, that kind of thing. So
yeah.
It's, as only anchor people can do, read teleprompters for a living. So, all due respect, but, you know, that's what we're looking at. It'll be very interesting to see what happens on Friday. I'm certainly hoping that he will come on the record with me on Wednesday.
Well,
I think it'll be a fascinating show.
Speaking of your show, mm-hmm. I didn't know you did a show, but hey, this sounds like it would be a very interesting thing to check out. And I think it would be very interesting to check your show out regardless, because this last hour has had me captivated since the very beginning.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate absolutely. That.
What's your website? I mean, is there a website for your radio show? Where can we find you at there?
Well, it's Q Files. If you go to theqfiles.com or Steve Quayle. Steve Quayle used to have this show called the Q Files.
Yeah.
Shortwave and on the internet.
Okay.
And he's kind of taken us about from it, so he's turned the show over to several of us, and Wednesdays for sure, possibility of Monday and Wednesday, but definitely Wednesday.
You're doing Wednesday this week,
I'm
right?
I'm doing Wednesday this week, correct. I did Wednesday the last 2 weeks in a row. So
okay, yeah, and I'm looking at the link, yeah, stevequayle.com, you can get to
right.
it from there. Yeah, people, check this out on Wednesday. I think this would be an interesting show. You're going to be talking to Prophet Yahweh that night. I know there's a lot of people.
Yeah, I'll talk about it. I'll talk about Prophet Yahweh, whether or not he's on the show. If he shows up, great, we'll do the interview.
Yeah.
If for some reason he doesn't show up, I'm still going to talk about it. And because it's coming up in just a few days, so
yeah,
it's
yeah.
kind of a hot topic. And I'll also be talking about some of what we talked about with the sortie into Syria. And by the way, just so you guys know, the Syrians now have all their troops all along the Lebanese border. It's just not, they've got 10,000 troops. They brought up other troops, and now along the entire border that borders Lebanon and Syria, Syria has it looks like there's going to be an invasion, is what it looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure why these guys are sitting there, but it's interesting, and that just happened over the weekend. So we'll be talking about that.
We could probably go on all night here. I know.
But we've only got 1 minute left.
And this always just so pisses me off. I can sit here and listen and talk to you for another 2 hours, probably.
I appreciate that, guys.
True.
We got.
I want
hang
everybody.
On the line. Don't leave us just
I want there. Everybody to write down lamarzulli. Was it WordPress.com?
Yeah, WordPress.com.
Yes,
lamarzulli.wordpress.com.
Yeah, and go there and monitor this because LA is really monitoring all the
check
know,
out
the news
on Wednesday, yeah,
and all that stuff. And everybody Wednesday night.
Check that out. I'm going to check it out myself.
I know I am.
I found this subject of Prophet Yahweh very interesting, and I saw it. Like I said, I saw the video, and I read a lot of stuff on that, too. And I'd like to, yeah, if there's a chance he's going to be on your show on Wednesday, LA, I would like to hear from the gentleman.
Especially
you know?
Before.
Well, right. Definitely, if he, you know, he's already agreed to it, and we have it set up, so I will be blogging throughout the day,
okay.
You know, whether or not he's going to be on or off, so you guys will know. But
if
you want to get the book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural,
yeah.
It really gets into detail, pretty much everything we talked about, and tons more. There's some great stuff on the Mothman in there, on crop circles, on Tata mutilations, on the Fatima apparitions. It's just chalk.
Yeah, we didn't get into
stuff.
We didn't get into any of
that.
Yeah,
no,
alien service,
alien
right.
implants.
And
we didn't get into a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
You just have to have me back, guys.
Yeah,
that's
we do.
Willing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can get the site right from SpiralLife.com.
Yeah, SpiralLife.com. You can get the book right there. Spiral, like a spiral staircase, SpiralOfLife.com, and you can pick up a copy.
L.A., hang on the line for a second. We're just going to close out the show, and then but we don't
yeah,
want
hang
to
hang tight. Don't leave us
anything.
Just yet, okay?
Sure.
So everybody, spiraloflife.com. We have to.
Yeah, we got to cut out of here quick because the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. They're killing. They're invading our phone line. Oh
yes,
my God.
They are.
We got. We share a phone line and I can hear them. So we got to run. Yeah.
You
go
guys.
Ahead,
we have to thank everybody. Jay Scott. We have to thank. Of course, L.A. Marzulli, we have to thank, I have so many things, Marilyn of the Indigo Inn, and, of course, Francine Milano for all being guests.
I just booted us up so we can slow down a little.
Cool. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show.
Yeah, L.A., thanks for joining
us. Keep writing in everything, and we're going to be back Friday night.
Friday night special show from Decatur, Illinois.
Decatur, Illinois, and then that's going to be the show for Sunday.
Hopefully, that's what I got planned.
We're going to try doing that.
Live, we're going to be doing a Houdini seance.
Happy Halloween.
Yes, happy Halloween,
guys. From us here at Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
You're not very enthused, Bonnie. Do that
I'm
again.
Sorry, and I'm Bonnie.
That's what I like to hear.
Was Kevin, that perky enough for you?
You know, your birthday's on Halloween. I thought you'd be more happy to hear
Which
it.
Is why I sound like an Bonnie.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
See you guys later.
Ghostly Talk! You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.